the printing of that, but my word will be returned to the employee. And that's the great statement of God. No matter about our clumsiness, our inappropriateness, sometimes we get caught up with wanting to say the right words until it comes out clumsily. But the Spirit of God gives us courage and brings back the answer, yes. I would ask you for your prayers for Aidan. He goes into hospital on Wednesday at Aldergate. He has to get a small operation done, but I'm sure Rhiannon and the family would value your prayers for Aidan Times. When he's got a hernia and says, "Donna, will you hear?" And he runs across the road and it gurgles. The innocence of the child. What I want to speak about this morning is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. And I think back on my brother going to church and everything, and my sister. I never went to church. I remember being marched down to the church by my father and left in the back pew as he went away and come back and picked us up again. So it was not a good man. But you know, so many times that things get into our head whenever we're young, especially words like holy and holy Bible and holy communion, holy spirit. I know. Let me just get out of here. For some people, it's a bridge too far. You're not used to Christian language. But what does it all mean to us today? This is very personal to me as well, because the Lord challenged me with Isaiah's word over a 16-day period, 10 different ministers around the world where I was traveling turned around and said, "I don't know why, but I feel I have to speak from Isaiah 1, Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. And over that 16 then here was 9 ministers spoke. And he opened up the Word of God. One of those speakers was Richard Wimbrand in Jerusalem, in the Baptist church there. And he said, "I'm in Jerusalem. I think that the Lord has put on my heart something great that has happened here in this city or here in this place." But he says, "The Lord put this on my heart." That was Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. Let's read Isaiah. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts of Thrasel shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Let's pray. Lord, as we hear those words again, as we look back to the time that you spoke to us, Lord, may we just recommit to you what you have called us for. And Lord, remind us we are not on our own. Open our ears, Lord, that we may see the glory of God. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, beside this passage, there's another passage that goes with this, and it's from Revelation 4. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there were what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox, and the third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.'" May the Lord bless his word to us. You know, this is another vision. There's Isaiah's vision in chapter 6. And then there's John's vision in Revelation 4. But we are reminded that what does the heavenly beings call us? Holy, holy, holy. And it's the only two times in the whole Bible that it's thrice said. It's called out, holy, holy, holy. In Isaiah itself, the Lord is referred to as holy, the Holy One, 30 times. And throughout the Bible, he's referred to the Holy One 637 times. I was very busy on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Thank you. But you know, why is it the emphasis of holy, holy, holy? In a Jewish tradition, sometimes they will turn around and say, oh, my son's good, good. That's when you get passages in the Bible where it double emphasizes the words that's written. Yeah. And then sometimes he turns around and says, yes, my daughter's good, good, good. Making an emphasis on good your child is. But here, holiness referring to God, it tells us of how he is set apart for a special reason. He is the Lord God Almighty. God is called holy, which for some is a bit disconcerting. God being called holy is the most unpopular attribute we can handle. We can handle God being God called the God of love or the God of grace. Be a bit daunting to us, and for some it even bothers. But the heavenly beings didn't cry out grace, 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 or mercy, mercy, mercy. They cried out holy, holy, holy. But did you notice what it says after they cried out? The doorposts shook, and it's supposed to be the strongest part of the house. The doorposts shook and rattled because of the power that they were exclamation of our holy God was. stand for something. Have we as Christians lost that awesomeness, that reverence of the holiness of God? And that is to be holy, is a separation or the set apartness to sin of God. I think we have in some way belittled the holiness of God. Holiness means separation, set apart. But reading in verse 1 of Isaiah, it said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. I would ask, is this important what Uzziah said? I think it's very important for King Uzziah. But it also sets a timeline of what is happening. I would have to say that King Uzziah, he served for 52 years. He had the ear of God, and Judah and Israel were good, were in a good place at that time. That being the case, this would cause Isaiah as a prophet to be concerned about the stability for the future of the people who are going, who's going to lead them? What happens if somebody wrong takes over? I'm sure if we, sometimes whenever coming up to whenever we lost the Queen, many people were thinking, what is Charles great enough to take over such a woman and such a job? But what does Isaiah go on to say? He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Here Isaiah realized that God was not in a panic or distress about King Uzziah's passing. God wasn't worrying. Everything seemed fine. But as we read on, Isaiah sees himself in the light of God and realizes how much he is wanting. And he sees his uncleanness as we read in verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Because Isaiah realized that a sinless, holy God could not look upon a sinful person. As soon as Isaiah declared his sinfulness, and instantly the angel brought the coal of the altar and touched his lips. And instantly Isaiah was cleansed. And immediately he admitted the truth of his name and his own sin. And so many times we can kind of hide our need in a way. Hide our need from God, that we need his help. to know his pace, to know his cure, and know his undertaking for us. But what do we see next in verse 8? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. God in his holiness convicts you. God in his love cleanses you. God in his wisdom calls you. And God in his power qualifies you. All prompted by God's holiness leads to our wholeness. Being right with him. Do you want to be a complete person? Be drawn to God's holiness. For this is the attribute that God wants to share with you and me today. Because God wants you to be like him. Leviticus chapter 11 says, you must be holy because I am holy. In Hebrews 12 we read, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, to be holy, to be set apart for him. One person wrote that God loves you the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He wants you to be changed by his holiness. And George Colson said, who's an American writer, said, holiness is the everyday business of the Christian. It evidences itself in the decisions we take and the things we do. Hour by hour, day by day. But the question is, what would